Louise McSharry on 2FM.
Now, though, it is time for us to talk about television. Where would we be without it? I would nearly weep thinking about it. We are joined now by our beloved Orla Condon. Hello, Orla.
Hi, Louise. Beloved. Wow, that's so nice.
You are absolutely beloved, Orla.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That is the kind of boost I need at this time of year. In this miserable January, I need that kind of, you know, fake love. I'm just adoring it. Thank you so much.
I'm actually speaking very sincerely. But you know what? We've got a massive delay on this line. So I think Caroline is going to call you back on your phone and we'll have a chat on your phone because this we can't be dealing with this echo.
Perfect.
So we're going to talk about telly with Orla in just a moment. And I know one of the things we're going to be talking about is Bridgerton, which I will be telling her that I haven't seen yet. I watched the first episode. I definitely want to watch more, but my husband is not into it. And I don't know if anybody else is having this problem where, like, there isn't a lot of time to be watching things on your own at the moment. You know what I mean? Like, you tend to sit down and watch together of an evening. And then that's, you know, you don't have the time to be watching your Bridgertons on your own. Orla, I was just saying, I haven't seen all of Bridgerton yet.
Do you know what? I was so excited for it. And I think this year to have a Christmas Day launch like this was quite exciting. And it was Shonda Rhimes' first project. And I was really looking forward to it. And it just fell a little bit flat for me. Like it didn't. And all of my friends are like, you're wrong. Like, so I'm very aware that people listening to this are going to be like, you're wrong. So I'm totally open to that discussion. Please come on over to my social media and let's hash it out. But for me, it just didn't reach the kind of heights that I thought it would. So I wouldn't be like scolding you for not getting there just yet.
I actually have a clip just in case anybody hasn't seen it, but I know it like a huge amount of people have seen it. And of course, it's the Shonda Rhimes series for Netflix. Have a listen to this.
How does a lady come to be with child?
Eloise, what a question.
I thought we needed to be married.
Whatever are you talking about?
Apparently it's not even a requirement.
Eloise, that is more than enough.
Daphne, please, you were playing so lovely. Please, to go on.
I take it the two of you? No?
Do not look at me. Have you ever visited a farm?
No.
Oh! I do hope the two of you are not encouraging improper topics of conversation.
Not at all, Mother.
In fact, we were just heading off to take our sticks out.
Colin Bridgerton.
A round of fencing.
So I think everybody was shocked by how, you know, sexy Bridgerton is.
Yeah, like I think Shonda Rhimes is the woman behind Grey's Anatomy and Scandal and How to Get Away with Murder and all these shows, and they're not like, I mean, they're not PG-13 shows. Like, she's known for kind of moments of passion in her telly writing and all this kind of stuff, so it's not surprising that Bridgerton features the same kind of thing. I don't think people expect it to have like a 15-minute, like, you know, omnibus of sex scenes in the middle of Bridgerton, but here we are.
15 minutes.
It was like a pretty long kind of interlude of like a montage of moments, and it got a lot of people very hot under the collar.
Well, I did see a lot of people elected to watch it with their parents over Christmas, which I gather many people regretted.
Yeah, Netflix really duped us with that Christmas Day launch in one way. It was like that year that Brooklyn was on RTE on Christmas Day and everyone was like, oh, I forgot about the sex scene. Oh my God, I sat here with my parents and my grandparents and everyone I've ever met in my life, and it's just awkward.
Why is it so awkward? Like, it's so stupid. We're all adults, and yet it is so awkward.
It's so awkward. I don't know. And I would count myself a pretty chill person about this kind of stuff, but there's something about that situation where you're like, I'm on tea, and you're like, I need to get out of the room right now. This is just brutal. So Bridgerton definitely is guilty of that.
So would you say it's a nice watch? It's just not changing the world.
It definitely is a nice watch, and it's a reimagined version of these kind of period dramas. So for anyone who like didn't enjoy the kind of Pride and Prejudice, you know, Jane Eyre type period drama, this is definitely not that. It's definitely a modern take. There's a lot of, you know, sexy glances and kind of love triangles and will they, won't they's and all this kind of stuff.
And it looks good, doesn't it? Watch.
It looks beautiful. I mean, the costuming is gorgeous. It's been praised for its diversity as well. Like, there's a lot of black characters featuring in high ranks of royal society, which obviously is not historically correct. So there's lots of good points about it as well. And obviously Nicola Coughlan of Derry Girls fame and much beloved to the Irish viewers is one of the stars. She's brilliant in it. And it's like you said, it's hugely popular. It's trending number one in Ireland still. It's one of the biggest releases Netflix have had, and it looks like it could be the biggest in the first few weeks, going by the trends of the viewing numbers over the last couple of weeks. It's definitely worth a watch. I don't think it was worth the hype that it had. Mm. But definitely part of the chatter, everyone seems to be watching it, so it's always nice to be able to say, oh, I've seen that, like, this was my thoughts or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm glad I watched it, and I will look forward to a season two, but I'm not, like, dying for the season two to come in the next few months, if that makes sense.
Got it. Okay, let's talk about The Circle US, which is now on Netflix. And this is an American version of a show that was on, was it on Channel 4?
Channel 4, yeah. I've been getting loads of texts the last, like, week from friends being like, oh my God, are you watching The Circle? Are you watching The Circle? And I was like, in what alternate reality are they living? That there's no Circle on at the minute. And then they were like, it's just dropped on Netflix. So this is the first US season that premiered last January in the US, but has now been acquired by Netflix. So it's just been uploaded for Irish and UK viewers. So a lot of people are watching it. Like, it's trending on Netflix now for Irish viewers. But yeah, you're right. It's the adaptation of the UK show, which Irishman Paddy Smith won last year.
Yeah, I was going to say that's Paddy won that, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, he won that. And really, really well. Like, the story around Paddy was that he, you know, he made an alliance with a couple of other players and they really upended the game in the last, like, week and a half of the game. And it was a really, really interesting win, and Paddy played at it as himself, and it was such a nice win for him. And it's a really interesting show, and essentially it's kind of these six or seven people move into this kind of apartment building. Everyone's living in their own apartment, and they can only communicate through this social media app called The Circle. So they can either play themselves, they can play an adapted version of themselves, or they can create a whole new online persona and play as that. So it's all about kind of fishing out who's telling the truth, who's, like, you know, who's catfishing, all that kind of stuff. So the US one, I was tentatively going into it because I just find sometimes these US adaptions of UK shows, example Love Island, just don't hit the mark.
Yeah.
But this is managing to do it. There's some really good characters in it, some really big head wrecks already, which I love for these kind of shows.
Mm.
And it's just all about the kind of manipulation of the game, who's smart enough to play it strategically, like Paddy Smith did on the UK version last year.
Mm.
And some of them just aren't quite clued in enough to really manipulate the game to their advantage.
Okay,
there's cash prize at the end as well, which is worth noting.
Oh, what's the cash prize?
It's like $10,000 or $100,000. Was it $100,000 actually?
Actually, I hope it's
$100,000. Big difference there.
I have a little clip. Let's have people listen.
Players, it's time for the first ratings. What?
You must rank your fellow players from favorite to least favorite.
This is like high school all over again.
Once everyone has rated, the top two players will become the circle influencers and will hold great power. Great. I have friends!
Circle, please take me to Joey's profile. Oh, always the life of the party.
We'll see about that, honey. You ain't partied with me yet.
Oh, that's very Machiavellian. Caroline checked there, and it is definitely 100 grand. And just for the record, I was not sniffing my nose at 10 grand. I would happily take 10 grand from anyone, but it just, in American TV competitions, there's usually a bigger prize.
Yeah, and I mean, and the people behind these shows have spoken about, like, the thing about The Circle is, like, it only runs for 3 weeks because they've said, like, any longer in isolation and it's actually kind of damaging. And now I'm like, oh, after a year, we've done just fine, right?
Okay.
That theory right out the window.
So The Circle next year is going to be 5 years long. So let's move on to WandaVision, because I have not heard of this at all.
Okay, so this, I'm a person who dabbles in the Marvel universe. I pick and choose. I am a fair weather fan. I am not committed. So I'm prepared for the wrath of the Marvel universe, potentially not knowing all of the facts about this. But this is the first TV show of the Marvel universe. It is Disney Plus's first release. And we are heading into phase 4 of the Marvel Universe, which fans will be very aware of. And this is WandaVision, based on two characters that we already know and love already. It is about Elizabeth Olsen's Wanda Maximoff, otherwise known as Scarlet Witch, and Paul Bettany's Vision. So it's about this couple and their life together, kind of slightly aside from the events of the Avengers and things like that. But it's all mirroring kind of classic sitcoms that we will know or recognize from years gone past. So it has a very vintage look. It jumps through timelines to kind of mimic different shows. You're thinking like I Love Lucy and the Brady Bunch and things like this. All the while kind of having this element of a classic kind of action movie. So the kind of, the clues that we're meant to figure out is why are we set in these kind of ways, in these kind of, you know, times? Why are they jumping through time? What's going on with kind of the backdrop to these people's lives, and how do we figure that out?
Hmm.
Early reviews are really, really, really positive. So I know, well, fans are going to eat it up anyway. But I think it's going to pick up a lot of new viewers, people who signed on to Disney Plus kind of last year, early days of lockdown, and are kind of trying to make the most of their subscription.
Mm.
This is probably the first big one that they can look forward to.
Yeah, because I'm not a Marvel person, but that idea of all the different kind of sitcoms and the different styles sounds very interesting to me. Wonderful. I have a little clip. Let's have a listen.
What was that?
Wanda.
Yes, dear.
Are you using your powers to turn on the light?
Yes, dear.
Allow me, sweetheart.
What do you see?
Only your lovely rose bushes.
That's all? Are you using your night vision vision?
I assure you, my love, I see nothing amiss. You have absolutely no reason to be... No!
You were saying?
Wow, so that's almost kind of like I Dream of Jeannie or Bewitched. And
yeah.
And they're really like with the laugh track and everything. It's really, it seems a bit, and I'm not saying
it's
this
bizarre.
Is necessarily bad, weird.
Yeah, really, really bizarre. But again, another one that nails it for costuming. It takes you through those kind of generations very, very well. And yeah, the whole purpose is kind of trying to figure out why is this time shift happening?
Right.
Why are they being set in this kind of... And every once in a while, they kind of break that fourth wall and they kind of come out of that sitcom performance and they're like, what's happening? And then they go straight back into it. So it's kind of this constant question of, are they trapped in something? What's going on?
Yeah.
But yeah, this kicks off on Friday on Disney Plus. So there'll be two episodes released on Friday and then it will be released week on week after that.
Okay.
And like I said, it's the first Marvel show on Disney Plus, but it's kind of coming ahead of The Falcon and The Winter Soldier, which is coming in March, and Loki, which is arriving, I think, sometime at the end of May.
Okay.
So this will be the first of Marvel's kind of partnership with Disney Plus.
Okay. And before I let you go, there are two returning shows that we'll very quickly mention, A Discovery of Witches and American Gods.
Yeah, Discovery of Witches is the Sky drama starring Teresa Palmer and Matthew Good, and it's all about kind of the modern-day version of witches and vampires and how they live amongst us, but they live kind of in the shadows and nobody knows who they are and what's going on. So the first series was all about Teresa Palmer's Diana Bishop, who's a historian and a witch, kind of learning of her powers and, you know, I don't want to hurt myself and others, I need to learn how to control my powers, all that kind of stuff. So the second season picks up with this kind of time shift. They're moving back to Elizabethan London and they're trying to find a book that controls the key to kind of everlasting life. So it's them trying to fight against the evils in their world and protect the world of humans and that kind of stuff. A very classic tale, but it's been praised for its kind of modern interpretation of kind of vampires and witches. And this is very much not a Vampire Diaries type show. It's
okay.
Much more of a kind of slick dramatization of it. That's coming on Sky. The whole second season has actually just dropped online, but you can watch it weekly on Sky One. And then American Gods, which is the Amazon Prime series, is back for a third series. That kicks off in the next week. And it is picking up where it left off in the second season with Ricky Whittle, who many will know as, what was his name, Valentine from Hollyoaks. You might recognize him. If you look it up, the poster, and you'll know what I'm talking about. But he plays the series lead, Shadow Moon, in the first series, who kind of is released from prison and meets this guy called Mr. Wednesday, played by Ian McShane. And works as his driver and kind of side man and things like that. And basically it's all about the old gods and the conflict with the new gods who are growing stronger every day. So another kind of sci-fi series. And series three picks up with kind of Ricky Whittle's character trying to break away from that. He moves to kind of small town America, away from all of this nonsense, and only to find that secrets lurk in every corner he goes into. So it's kind of a continuation. This is not a show I've ever dipped into. My brother adores this show and I know it's got some very loyal fans. It's one of Amazon Prime's biggest hits.
Okay.
So season three is back. So anyone who is interested or watches it would be very happy to hear that.
Well, Orla Condon, thank you so, so much for coming on with us. Orla Condon has a podcast called The Weekly Watch and is a content creator for onefabday.ie. Thank you, Orla.
Thanks, Louise.
Have a good one. Louise McSherry on 2FM.